Good morning, everybody watching online, and good morning to everybody down in Mullaloo. Let's have a big clap just for everybody, wherever you're at. There's something cool about stopping and just saying, hey, we are all together in this moment. And if we haven't met, my name's Dean. Welcome. We are, you're here on a great day. You know, we are in this series, Heart, Soul, Mind, and Strength, and we're looking at what it looks like to love God with all that we are. So you may be someone who, you know, gathering for church or watching online is a normal part of your life. You might be kind of brand new to this. Maybe you just came along today. My hope is you're going to catch maybe a bit of a bigger vision, perhaps, for how you look at yourself today. So we are, we've been looking at this verse. It comes to us, we've got it here in Mark. Jesus says this a few places, that the way to experience Zoe life, which is the abundant, full life that God created us and purposed us for. He says the way to experience that is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, can we put that up? I think from Mark, we've got it today, or possibly Luke. So when Jesus said, this is the most important commandment, and then he says, out of that, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. So we've looked the last couple weeks what it looks like to set our heart on loving God above all else, what it looks like to care for our soul well in the ways that God would intend for us to love God with all our soul. We've looked last week at what it looks like to love God with this extraordinary mind that we have been given. And today we're going to look at this word strength. What does it look like to love God with all your strength? Turn to the person next to you, give them a fist bump, and say, you look pretty strong to me. You look pretty strong to me. I'm not how you look to you. Turn to the other person, and if it's appropriate, grab their bicep. And just say, wow, you feel pretty strong to me, you know? Here's what I love about this this idea of loving God with all our strength. I want you to come to understand is we're going to start off by getting just a small snapshot of what does this mean. We'll only be able to touch, and I mean scrape the very surface of what it looks like to love God with all our strength today. But we're going to try and wrap our heads around a picture that might give us a bit of direction. To love God with all your strength begins with this word. The Greek word for strength there is ischus. Ischus is, it means basically your strength or your capacity, your ability or capability. It is the part of you that is your physical body is represented through your strength and your ability to use your body in meaningful ways in this world. When we think about loving God with our heart, soul, and mind, in many ways we are thinking of the inner being, the inner part of who we are, and loving God with all that is within us. But when we think of loving God with all our strength, this is where a picture shifts to how, with the body you have been given, with the capabilities and talents and abilities, in what ways are you directing the outer part of your life in the service and love of God? And not just with part of your strength. Not just with part of who you are, but with the full engagement of loving God with all your strength. And we're going to look a little bit about what that might mean for each one of us, where we might start on that today. So I'd love to pray. Because we're thinking about our strength and our bodies, why don't we for a moment just stand up. And I want to pray. And if you want to say to God, God, and you might, like I said, you may be new to church or faith. You may be someone who it's a regular part of your life. But if today you would say to God, God, would you show me something new, something fresh, something I've not thought about before of what it might look like for me to love you with all my strength, then I will invite you to do something with your physical body, and that is to just open your hands as I pray, and we'll together make it a physical way of saying, God, I want to hear from you and receive something from you today. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are beyond our comprehension. And this morning, we pause and are reminded that you, the creator of the galaxies and the universe, the farthest flung stars, you decided to come and take on a human body, the flesh incarnation in Jesus Christ. And you have given us of your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And so as we open your word today, We stand with hands open, representing that our hearts and our minds and our souls are open to you today. And we pray, Lord God, would you speak to each one of us afresh today? That we might step forward in some way in the joyful journey of loving you with all our strength. And we pray it together in Jesus' name. And everybody greets it. Amen. Amen. Now, loving God with all our strength, don't sit down. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do 10 squats. Let's go. Let's go. One. Let's go. Come on, people. No, just kidding. We're not doing squats. It's okay. It's not even, we don't even have insurance if someone hurt themselves, okay? So don't do squats, not even at home. Now, why don't you grab a seat? Grab a seat. I want to tell you a couple quick things about your body before we dive into this. Do you know this? I want to just tell you a couple. I've got this list of some amazing things you may have never realized about your physical body. Did you know there are no muscles in your fingers? There's no muscles in your fingers, yet they move. Turn to the person next to you. That's fascinating. Now, I'm having you do that because I know you might just think it's boring, but I'll force you to say that this is interesting. Did you know you will have a brand new skeleton in 10 years? Your entire skeleton, your skeletal system's cells are constantly regenerating, and on average, the bones you have now will completely regenerate in about a decade's time. You will literally have a brand new skeleton in 10 years. I'm hoping my next one is taller and stronger. Did you know kids grow fastest in the summer? How about that? Oh, Australians should all be the tallest people in the world because it has to do with the heat. Did you know your bones are stronger than steel? Your bones are stronger than steel. It says it on the internet. It must be true, okay? Turn to the person next to you and say, you look like either the man or woman of steel. You're the man or woman of steel. You had no idea. You had no idea. Did you know that, I thought this one's fascinating. Did you know your hair knows when you sleep? Your hair knows when you sleep. It can track your sleeping patterns. There are clock genes in your hair follicles that express your sleep-wake cycle. If you get up late or go to bed early, your hair will show it. How does my hair look today, everybody? Does it look fresh, well-rested? Turn to the person next to you and say, I see. Did you know your body position affects your memory? When you have sitting and looking downward makes it easier to recall negative memories, while sitting upright and looking forward makes it easier to recall positive, empowering memories. Sit up straight, folks. Sit up straight, look forward, and try to think you love church, all right? Let's see what happens. That is amazing. Did you know humans glow? You just can't see it. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're glowing today. You're glowing. The human body emits visible light, but since it's about 1,000 times less intense than the levels our eyes are able to spot, it's not visible in practice. We glow. That is dope. All right, let's go. Did you know a blink is a micro nap? How about that? You want a quick one right now. Blink. I give you permission. Don't macro nap. We're getting into the Word of God in just a moment, all right? You probably thought it was just something it says that keep your eyes moist, but a blink, we blink about 15 to 20 times per minute, and it can help to sharpen our attention and provide our bodies time to recharge. Let's all blink for a minute. Let's just blink. Do you feel better? You feel better? Is that good? All right, and here is one of my favorites. Did you know it's impossible, and we're going to all test this in a moment, it's impossible to tickle yourself. It's impossible. Try. Everybody try. Try the person next to you. See? So look at that. It was super quiet when I said try to tickle yourself. Has to do with how the area of your brain monitors things. Did you know your stomach acid, the acid in your stomach that's used to digest food, can dissolve a razor blade? That does not mean try. It just means that's incredible. That's how acidic, and yet there it is, just doing its thing. And you, did you know your intestine is 4 times as long as you are? 4 times as long. That makes no sense whatsoever. How is something four times inside us. Did you know your gut, a lot of people, this has become more common known this. Do you know that your gut has a second brain? They often talk about now, the more, you know, doctors and scientists come to understand about our bodies, the more we understand this, that there's a network of neurons that line our guts, which some scientists start calling it our second brain. It doesn't just handle digestion, but it's intricately woven with our nervous system. That's why we feel those experiences sometimes of a nervous stomach and butterflies in our tummy. And last one that we'll go with, do you know this? Okay, no, two, because this is fascinating, isn't it? I'm basically sitting here going on an internet tangent that we talked about last week right in front of you. You know, it's just incredible, isn't it? Did you know that you have a one-of-a-kind tongue print, the only one in the world? Say, I thought your tongue looked unique. And did you know your liver can almost completely regrow? It's so resilient, even if reduced by as much as 75%, it could grow back to its full size. And did you know this one is, I find fascinating, humans are the only animal, if you want to use that language as some scientists do, but this is to me one of those things that just shows we are different, the only creature that weeps. Something extraordinarily unique about us. Turn to the person next to you and say, you got an amazing body. You got an amazing body. And I hope that was not more than mildly awkward for most of you today. I want you to think this morning about what would it look like to love God with all your strength. Do you realize, do you recognize, have we all taken to heart that each one of us has been endowed with and given an extraordinary physical body? We live in a world that values some pretty odd things about the body at times, and so some of you may have walked in today not feeling like that, but this is the reality, as the scriptures say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you to be extraordinary. And one of the things I love about Jesus' word to us to say, do you want to know where life and abundant life, the experience of the life you were created for is found? It is found not in just loving God with kind of your heart, mind, and spirit and on the inside, but you are a whole being created to express the glory of who God created you to be in his image, to express it all through the full and complete and wonderful package, if you will, that is you, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so this morning, I want to just give you a few thoughts. When we think about loving God with all our strength in your body, those are words about our physical body, but this word, it speaks, it's not just about just our physical body. It's realizing this, your body has capability. It has ability. It has talents and things that are unique to you. You don't just have a one-of-a-kind tongue print. You are a one-of-a-kind. The one-of-a-kind combination of talents, skills, abilities, predispositions, all those things that can all be directed in loving and honoring God. And so what I want to just do for a few minutes this morning, I want us to just wrap our heads a little bit around what we're going to call this a theology of your strength. Now, when we talk about strength, this word all your strength, we're going to think through a couple different layers of it just as starting points. When we think about strength in the Bible, our strength, ability, and capability, we're going to look at these three things. Go back to just that last slide we had up. We're going to think about, I want you to think a little bit about your physical body and well-being, because do you know the only way you can relate to others, the only way you can make an impact on this world for God, the only way you can express love for others and even yourself in that sense is through your body. We all experience one another. Right now, I might have a running monologue in my head. I might have different feelings and sensations and experiences on the inside. You will not know exactly what is going on behind. You will just relate to my physical producing of words. And that's how we know each other. I will just look out at you. Even in through the power of the internet, we have screens. I can see all of your faces. And I can just, that's not true. We relate to one another through who we are. We love people with who we are. We're going to think a little bit about our well-being. We're going to think a little bit about our talents and abilities. You have to steward your talents and abilities is to realize God has gifted you uniquely for certain things. And what do you do with that? Do you love him with all that you are, or do you hold some of that back? We're going to think a little bit about vocation and legacy. That's just a way of saying all of us have different things we'll put our most of our strength into. Our days and our time will be spent putting our strength into something. We're going to call that our vocation. For some, it may be paid work. For others, it may be, focused on different ways. You're loving, caring for people in your life that it may not be paid work, but it is your work. It's your vocation. It's what you're here to do. There may be, when we think about legacy, what is the impact that because you walked the face of this earth, what is the impact that is left behind, that you left, that I leave? And so to do that, to kind of think about these things, we've got to wrap our heads around so we think well about what does this look like. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 because there's a really fascinating passage here where Paul's writing to this church. This church is in Corinth. They are living in ancient Rome. Here's what you need to know about ancient Rome. It was a wild old place. I mean, we can't almost wrap our heads around just kind of how wild this place was. These people have come to faith in Jesus, but they are still making break with culture around them. And at times, Paul has got to write to them, and he's like, look, here is where we are way off course and way off base. And in 1 Corinthians 6, he writes to them about some things that he's going, look, you're followers of Jesus now. And so what we're going to talk about is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. He's going to go, you're a follower of Jesus now. And so there's some things you used to do that they don't fit anymore. But he's going to help them understand where their thinking is a little bit off. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Now, you're going to hear some of these phrases. They had these slogans, these phrases that they were just kind of using, that they kind of borrowed and picked up from the culture around them. And Paul's going to go, hey, here's how you're thinking. And the crazy thing is, some of these, you will realize, are not dissimilar or too different from how our culture sometimes thinks. So he says, hey, here's what you're saying in the church. I have the right to do anything, you say. Paul says, but hold up. Not everything is beneficial. Turn to the person next to you and say, not everything is beneficial. He says, you say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. But he says, I missed the spot. So he says, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything. He says, this is what you're saying. This is how it kind of works in the culture around the Corinthian church. I have the right to do anything. Paul says, but hey, I will not be mastered by anything. Turn to the other person and say, I will not be mastered by anything. You didn't feel confident. You didn't feel confident on that. That's all right. No. He says, you say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, here's his comeback to this. He says, the body, however, it's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Now, pause here for a moment. So here's how we're going to kind of start out a little bit of our theology, our thinking about how do we understand our bodies, their place in this world, what God created us for, how we use them, and what we do with them. Paul's going to deal in kind of these couple chapters of Corinthians around a number of issues, but two that he's going to touch on here, and he addresses them in a bit of a similar line of thinking. And this is the body's physical appetite for food and the body's physical appetite for sex. Two of the kind of big drivers amongst many appetites that the human body has. But what he says is they were applying kind of a similar logic to both of these. They were, they had this phrase that they would say, look, they said, I've got the right to do anything. I've come to Jesus. It's all about grace. He's done everything for me. I have the right to do anything I want with my body. And Paul says, look, he says, you basically, what he's saying, and he has said it a few times in Scripture, he says, you're kind of misunderstanding grace. Sure, at some level, you might be able to say that that's true, but Paul says, just because you have the right to do anything, he says, not everything is beneficial. He says, this is not a good approach to take with your body, that I've got the right to do anything. You know, I'm forgiven in Jesus, and so it really doesn't matter what I do with my body. I got the right to do anything. Paul says that's not a helpful way to honor God and love God with your body. He says instead, start by maybe thinking even, is this beneficial? How does what I do with my body affect myself and the world around me if I'm to love God and love others as I love myself? Then they say it a second way. They say, look, I got the right to do anything. I could do anything. And we're going to go into why they thought they could do anything in just a moment. But he says, they're always going, I got the right to do anything. It doesn't really matter. I can do whatever I want. And he says, but I, Paul, saying, but look, I will not be mastered by anything. So it's almost like he's saying, look, he's saying to the Corinthian church, what you're starting to think is that because Christ has set you free and you've been forgiven and his grace is coming, all that, he says you're totally misunderstanding the nature of that freedom. You think that now you're free so you can just follow the impulses of your body wherever they may lead you. He says, no, you'll just become, you just become a slave to your body. So he says, I won't be mastered by anything. Do you know your body can be a wonderful servant and a terrible master? It's another way of what Paul's trying to say here. He says, and then this was their third saying. They'd say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. God will destroy them both. You know what? They're kind of saying, look, if you're hungry, eat. You know, you've got a stomach. There's food there. If you want it, you should just eat it. And why does it matter anyway? Because God is just going to destroy them both. And so here we touch on kind of one of the core things of where they'd gotten this wrong. And this, hang with me through this, because if we understand a little bit more of actually how God's created us and what he's created us for, it will help us all start to understand, okay, so now how do I apply this in my life? You see, what they had started to think was, they probably would have had no problem saying, yeah, love God with all your heart, mind, soul. Love him with all your spirit. Love him on the inside. But they were kind of like, it doesn't matter what you do with your body because your body's just going to be destroyed anyway. It's the spirit that matters. They'd kind of adopted a bit of a dualistic thinking that sort of went, you know, that the body is just one day going to be totally discarded, and then their application out of it was, so do whatever you want, eat whatever you want, kind of no restraints on your sexuality, all that, just go for it. The food for the stomach, stomach for food, and God's going to destroy them both, so don't worry about it. Now, thankfully, we would never end up with this kind of thinking today. Thankfully, we would never, you know, end up, you know, in a culture that starts to tell us it doesn't really matter what you do with your body. But here's what is challenging, even for followers of Jesus, is sometimes, because we miss a key piece of theology that Paul grabs hold of right here, we miss something. We can unintentionally fall into the track of thinking what we do with our bodies doesn't matter. And that can play out a couple different ways, but we start to fall into this thinking that they did. Paul says the answer to this is that you've got to understand your body is not meant for sexual morality. God created, you are a whole being. And your body, mind, soul, and spirit are connected. And so in our bodies, what he's going to say to him is if we use them in ways that fundamentally are not how God intended, it doesn't just affect your body, it affects your heart, your mind, your soul. What you do with your body affects your soul. What you do with your mind affects your body. We are whole beings. And so for Paul, he's going, no, this is not how it works. You don't get to just go, well, the body doesn't really matter. It's just about the spirit. He says, no. Do you know what's going to happen? He says, and go back just for one moment. He says, Jesus, God raised the Lord from the dead. He resurrected Jesus, and he will do the same for us. Why does this matter? Because what it matters, what it helps us see, is that because God raised Jesus' body, bodily, do you know when Jesus was resurrected, he went out of his way to show his followers. It was not just his spirit. He was not a ghost, he'd keep on saying. He'd say, touch me. Don't you see I've got flesh and bones like a ghost doesn't have? He ate fish with his disciples. Why does he eat fish? But he is going out of his way to show us that the resurrection, he wants to break down this dualistic idea that, you know, we are just a spirit and someday the body, you're going to chuck it. So if it doesn't have any lasting value, it probably doesn't matter. And so instead, he's going to show us, no, God is going to raise us. We will one day be raised, not as ghosts somewhere, but we will be raised with the scriptures call a resurrected body. Now, why is this so important? Because this helps us avoid two huge challenges when it comes to how we relate to our physical bodies. And you see hints of this for the Corinthian church. The first error is what we're going to call ignoring the body. It's possible to kind of ignore the body and go, the body doesn't really matter. Now, where does this show up in our lives as followers of Jesus? Sometimes it can show up going, what matters is just my quiet time when I'm alone with the Lord and I pray And what matters is what's going on in my heart. What matters is just what's on the inside. And we ignore the fact that actually we are a whole being, and what we do with our bodies affects our hearts, and what we do with our hearts affects our bodies. We are one whole being. We can't ignore our bodies and just think they don't matter. But then the other error that can happen is, instead of ignoring the body, our culture and some broken thinking can sometimes encourage us to idolize our body. And instead of ignoring the body and thinking it doesn't matter, we can fall into this trap of, well, the body's everything. And the body needs to be cared for at all costs. And if I don't have a body that looks a certain way, so it can either show up in both, one, that this extraordinary pursuit of trying to have our bodies look and feel a certain way, or trying to achieve certain things. Because remember, this is strength, ability, all these things. We think, man, I wish I could just be like that. And we start to idolize it, and we think it's everything is about it. Or we think it's every wish and command needs to be obeyed. And the body becomes an idol, and we think, well, you know what? If you got a hunger for it, if you got a desire for it, you should do that. It just becomes another idol. And we're no longer free to serve Jesus. But in between, or perhaps is a totally different alternative, in between is not even the right word, is what it looks like in the scriptures to love God with all our strength, our bodies, our capabilities, our abilities, our talents. Not to ignore him and think God only cares what happens in my heart and doesn't care what happens in my work. Not to idolize and think the value of my life will depend on my achievement in my body, whatever that looks like. But instead, at the end of the chapter, he comes back to this idea and he says, look, this is what it looks like. He unpacks the importance of how we function as whole beings. And then in verse 19, he says this. He says, do you not know? Let me say, do you not know? Turn to the person and say, don't you know? Turn to the other person and say, don't you? Don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know your body is a place where God dwells? So if God's Spirit dwells in you, you know, if you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God, then here's what you come to understand. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, and this is what it looks like to love God with our bodies, honor God with your bodies. Honor him. This word is the same word we get doxology from. Praise him with your bodies. The same way you would with words or things. Let your body be lived in praise and honoring of who God is. We're going to use this phrase, steward your body, because what it says is you are not your own. You're not your own. We live in a culture that says, it's your body, do with it what you want. It's your body. If you got an impulse, follow it. The pathway of someone who directs their whole self in love and service of God is to say, you know what, my body is not my own. It belongs to God, and it is given to me to steward. Can I tell you, I, at times in my life, have wished I had different talents, wished I had different abilities, wished I had a different physique, wished I had different colored hair. I know. You can imagine, why wouldn't everybody just want to have red hair? I mean, I didn't read, one of the amazing things about the body is that people with red hair are actually 33% smarter than the average. Anyway, but I don't. Just 12% funnier and 80% worse liars. And anyway. So you could go through life and we could think, it doesn't really matter what I do with it. We go through life thinking, I better do whatever my body wants me to. We go through life wishing we had a whole different set of talents, abilities, skills. You know, or we can actually say, God, who have you made me to be? And then understand that you're when God decided to give me red hair, I don't believe it was an accident. I've literally no idea why he did, but I believe he had purpose for my life and who he created me to be. Do you know, when I was in university, I played tennis, but one of the things about me, I have a thinner physique. Like, I, no matter what I do, I find it difficult to put weight on. So when I was in university, I wanted to bulk up. I would read, magazine. I was like, no, if I was bigger, if I was thicker, if I was stronger. I read about a boxer, I think it was Lennox Lewis, and I had read that he ate a loaf of bread a day, every single day. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to look like Lennox Lewis. I'm going to eat a loaf of bread every day. I don't know if you know who Lennox Lewis is. There's a few more things than a loaf of bread a day separating me and Lennox Lewis. You know, like, he was a heavyweight fighter. Like, nothing that I could eat, drink, ingest, or find in the Amazon jungle is going to make my body start to look like Lennox Lewis. So the thing that we miss when we idolize our body and think it should be this, it should be that, and it should be, and it's worth it. But we, you know what? Just, you got a body, honor God with it. Just steward it. Find a way. This is our world gets so caught up in, at times, body shame, and because the idolization of the body produces not just a chasing after, but often a dislike for even what we have, because instead of just saying, God, I have what you gave me, let me steward it, there's a chasing like me trying to eat a loaf of bread a day in addition to every other meal, and it didn't work. What does it look like to steward our bodies? If we're followers of Jesus, the whole picture Jesus has given us is, hey, don't start with the body. Like, don't go, okay, what do I want to do with the body? Somebody start with the body. So, like, here's what I can do, can't do, should do, shouldn't do with the body. Or, you know, that's the wrong place to start. It's why some people think that the Christian faith is about what you can do or can't do. No, Jesus has this whole vision for life that is, how do you take the whole of who you are and realize that you will be most fully alive when you direct every last bit of it, heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving God. And as we learn to set our hearts on loving and serving him, as we learn to renew our minds in his understanding, as our soul becomes healthier, all of this is to express itself, not in saying, well, it doesn't really matter what I do with my body. Oh, nothing could be further from the truth. All of this is designed, as we love him with all that's within us, it will express itself through how we steward our bodies, our talents, our abilities. It's those three areas we talked about. It starts with health and well-being, but we don't become like those who make our bodies our idol and think everything must bow to what happens to my body. We have a realistic assessment that my body is given to me by God to steward for his purpose, but my body nevertheless will be broken until it is one day resurrected. And so we don't get caught up thinking, you know, oh, the body is everything. No, it's ours to steward. And it's more than just that. It's how do we steward our talents and abilities? And not going, I love God, and I meet with him a little bit in the morning at the beginning of the day, and I even go to church to worship him on a Sunday. But really, my job and my work and the things I'm doing throughout the day, that's like my life. And God, why would he care about that? No, but how do you love him with all your talents, strengths, abilities you've been given? What's your vocation look like? How does your love for God express itself in the things you will put your hands and energy into most primarily throughout your life? I just love this picture, and this is what I want to leave with you too. Love God with all our strength ultimately is about recognizing that we are called to simply steward our bodies, our capabilities, our talents, and our abilities in this world. And we don't end up having to be a slave to what our body wants us to do. And we don't ignore them and think none of that matters. It's just about our heart. We realize that one day God is going to resurrect our body. Yes, one day, one day I'm going to look like Lennox Lewis. You know, that's what I believe. Maybe Lord in heaven. When I'm resurrected, it won't be like that. We will be resurrected as whole beings. Our bodies perfected just as God intended them to be. Here's what I want to encourage you to consider. What would it look like for you to steward your strength, your iskus? We've been talking a little bit about the body, but please hear me. It's not just it's how your body is expressed in this world. It's your capability. It's your abilities. It's your talents. What will it look like to steward that? Here's my kind of final picture for you. And next week, we're going to have our last week in this series, and we're going to talk about how do we actually put some of this together in really, really realistic ways to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But this week, I want you just to start to to maybe give you, I want to give you one last picture. And we won't play keys just yet. But I'll turn and with my hand I'll say, when it's time for that. But here's the last picture I want to give you. You know, we had two cars for the last few years. We've had two cars at various points in our life. That makes us some of the richest people in human history, just so you know, as well. Like, having one car sticks you right in the top percentage of people in human history and what that allows you. Anyway, all that say, one of those cars was a 1999 gold Toyota Camry. Heck of a car. I call it the gold car. The rest of my family often refers to it as the brown car. It's all in how you look at the car, okay? I will say it's a 1999. Now, here's the bizarre thing to me. A 1999, driving a 1999 car right now, I realized for my son, Levi, it was the equivalent of when I was his age, if I was driving around in a car from the 1960s. And I find that weird. I had to say that for no other reason than that. That's just weird. But anyway, that's how long ago 1999 was, y'all. Anyway, we had like four skeletons since then. Anyway, so I'm driving around. And you know what? We had it for years. I think we've had it for 10. The thing, like, it'll drive forever. It never needs resurrected. Just drives forever. And a few years ago, someone gave us. It was just a crazy set of circumstances. Somebody want to bless us. They actually basically gave us a BMW X5, 2015. And now I can just tell you this. I didn't even know what an X5 was. I'm not really like a supercar guy. Not necessarily in my makeup. So they just said that, you know, we want you to have this thing. And it was like, I didn't know what it even was. But I'd heard of BMW. Anybody heard of BMW? I never thought in my whole life I would drive a BMW. And so we ended up with this car. As soon as we were given it, can I tell you that I never treated that car the way I did the 1999 gold brown Camry. No one told me what I had to do. But the 1999 Camry, let's just say, it didn't take great care of it. Maybe. That's generous, okay? As soon as we got this BMW, again, I never even thought, it was just like, I'm like, oh my goodness, I know what a car is now. Like, this thing was nice. And I intuitively put in more expensive petrol. I intuitively started doing something I rarely did, washing it, cleaning it, vacuuming it. I intuitively just tried to start looking after it in a way I just never did for the 1999 brown/gold Camry. And I say all that to say, and we don't have the car anymore. We sold it not that long ago. But do you know this? Here's the thing about understanding who God's created us to be. Sometimes we can look at our particular physical body we've been given. We can look at our particular set of strengths, talents, abilities. And we think, man, I wish I had the BMW. Sometimes I'm a pastor. Sometimes I can look at other pastors and preachers. Play the keys for a second. Let's do that emotional thing. And then I wish I had that ability. Just like some of them, you know, they're like dramatic. It's incredible. I wish I could do it. Okay, Kim, there we go. That's it. That's all I got. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we can all look. And we can think, I wish I could be that. And believe me, boy, I've done that a lot in my life at various times. And not realize just like, you know what, you're the BMW, you're not the, Dean, forget car makes, okay, let's get out of that. My point is this, just realizing you, where we started this thing, the person that you are, extraordinary. Oh, every single person, fearfully and wonderfully made. One in a, literally in infinity, the only one of your kind in existence. And so in light of that, and we genuinely can play the keys now. No more jokes. It's legit. Genuinely, what will it look like to honor God with your strength, with your talents, with your abilities, with your unique not wishing you were this one or that one, but realize, like, no, you, how do you steward the physical body God's been given you? Don't go overboard and obsess and think it's all about a body, or it has to look like this or that. It's not about idolizing the body. But we also don't ignore it and think, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what kind of, you know, what I do with that. And we don't look and, man, I wish I had that, or I wish I had that, but I was just going, God, thank you for who you created me to be. And because I love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind is being renewed, oh, Lord, would you help me to now love you with all my strength? The most humans are the most extraordinary beings. We are created holistically, heart, mind, soul, strength. And we find Zoe when we take all of it and direct it in the love of God, expressed in loving ourselves and others. So I want to invite you to stand. Wherever you are, just stand up. We're going to do something very physical that Jesus has left us to do because we are physical beings. He gave us food to eat, bread to break, juice to drink. That somehow in this moment, a very physical moment, we might also be communing our hearts and minds and souls, our spirits connecting with him. And I want to encourage you to consider just one of two kind of reflective questions this morning. One may be to say, God, sometimes I fight you on the particular set of talents and skills and abilities or physical being that you gave me, and I wish I had been given something different. But Lord, I just want to say, please forgive me for devaluing what you have placed extraordinary value on. Forgive me for not seeing myself the way you see me. And so, Lord, today I just want to say thank you for who you created me to be. And I pray that you would, day by day, show me how to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Some of you, communion is often a time for what we call confession or repentance. For some of you today, it may be, it's a bit like the Corinthian church, that it's actually a moment to say, God, I've actually, put my... It may be your physical body. It may be your talents. It may be your abilities. But you realize I'm actually using these things in other than service to you, God. And I just want to confess that and say, that's not what I want to use, what you've created me for. And God, I just want to say, would you just please forgive me? And as soon as you say it, you just understand that forgiveness is already there. He's just waiting for you to step into it. And just say, God, please forgive me. And would you help me to now redirect myself, that I don't just think about what I can't do, but rather I pursue the vision of how I can fully engage all that I am for you, for your glory. And imagine what would happen in an extraordinary group of people just willing to say, God, we desire to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Imagine the capability body of Christ released into this world in the service of loving God and loving others. So let's meet with him today, and let's just take one more step on the journey of saying, God, would you help me to realize my body is a temple, a house of your Holy Spirit? God, would you help me in how I can serve and honor you with who you've created me to be? I want to pray for you, and then in your time, come meet with him. Take bread, take the cup. Sing, use your voice in worship and praise. Kneel if you want somewhere. But let's meet with God. Let's take a step towards following him. Heavenly Father, we stand here together in your presence. We're reminded that where two or more are physically gathered, you are right here with us. And so we welcome the work of your Holy Spirit in this moment, in the life of every individual. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, they'd be able to tune out my voice in these moments and tune in to the still small whisper of your Spirit. That, Lord, people today might take a step forward in loving you with all that they are. Come, Holy Spirit, minister to hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.